Vasudeva remunerated the priests by decorating them with precious ornaments, though they were already richly adorned, and offering them valuable gifts of cows, land and marriageable girls. Text 53, translation. After supervising the Patni Samyaja and Avabhritya rituals, the great Brahmana sages bathed in Lord Parashurama's lake with the sponsor of the sacrifice, Vasudeva, who led them. Text 54. His sacred bath complete, Vasudeva joined with his wives in giving the jewelry and clothes they had been wearing to the professional reciters. Vasudeva then put on new garments, after which he honored all classes of people by feeding everyone, even the dogs. Text 55 and 56. With opulent gifts, he honored his relatives, including all their wives and children. The royalty of the Vidarbha, Koshala, Kuru, Kashi, Kekaya and Srinjaya kingdoms, the officiating members of the assembly and also the priests, witnessing demigods, humans, spirits, forefathers and charanas. Then taking permission from Lord Krishna, the shelter of the goddess of fortune, the various guests departed as they are all chanted the glories of Vasudeva's sacrifice. Text 57 and 58. The Yadus were all embraced by their friends, close family members and other relatives, including Dhritarashtra and his younger brother Vidura, Pritha and her sons, Bhishma, Drona, the twins Nakula and Sahadeva, Narada and Vedavyasa, the personality of Godhead. Their hearts melting with affection, these and other guests left for the kingdoms, their progress slowed by the pain of separation. Text 59. Nanda Maharaj showed his affection for his relatives, the Yadus, by remaining with them a little longer, together with his cowherds. During his stay, Krishna Balaram, Ugrasena and the others honored him with especially opulent worship. Text 60. Having so easily crossed over the vast ocean of his ambition, Vasudeva felt fully satisfied. In the company of his many well-wishers, he took Nanda by the hand and addressed him as follows. Text 61. Vasudeva. Translation. Sri Vasudeva said, "My dear brother, God Himself has tied the knot called affection, which tightly binds human beings together. It seems to me that even great heroes and mystics find it very difficult to free themselves from it." Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Heroic leaders of men try to transcend their petty attachments by force of will, while introspective sages pursue knowledge for the same purpose. But the Lord's illusory energy, Maya, is much stronger than any conditioned soul. Only by taking shelter of Krishna, the Lord of Maya, can one become immune to her influence. Hare Krishna. So first of all, I would like to thank the authorities who have given me this wonderful service to recite from Srimad Bhagavatam. And I seek blessings and prayers of all the assembled Vaishnavas. So many years ago, when first I came to Sri Srila Gopinath temple here, the canto number 3 was going on. It was almost 15-18 years before. Then I found out when that first canto had begun. So our Madan Gopal Prabhu, who used to be looking after the sound system. He said that it was in 1995. So that means these years we are reciting from 10th canto. That means it has taken almost 21 years to reach Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto. So unlike other reciters who directly jump to the 10th canto, which is not appropriate at all, so thanks to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who has given us proper understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam and also how to read Srimad Bhagavatam step by step. So, it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Swadhama Pagati Dharma Jnana Divisaha Kalavanashta Drushamesha Puranaruko Dhanoditam. That means, when Krishna winded up his pastimes and went back to the spiritual world, along with him, dharma and knowledge, they also departed. So then, what is the hope? So he again appeared in the form of this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is non-different than him, and also it is as good as sun, which can illuminate the dark age of Kali Yuga. Elsewhere, I mean, the third verse of first canto itself, it is said, Nigama kalpataro galitam phalam shukhamukhadamrtam dravasamitam pibata bhavgatam rasamalayam muharaho rasika bhuvi bhavukam. That means this Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of all the Vedic literatures. That means the Vedic Vangmaya or the Vedic literatures are immense. There are four Vedas, 18 Puranas and 108 Upanishads and Mahabharata, Ramayana, so many other literatures. Among all of them, Bhagavatam is considered as a Galitam Phalam. That means it is a ripened fruit of all the Vedic literatures. And not only that, Shuka Dev Goswami personally has relished it. So, sometimes year before, one of my close relatives, the small baby, he had the problem of, you know, uttering words. So he had stammering kind of a problem. And then they went to the doctor, I think they went to some Ayurvedic doctor, and the doctor was suggesting that he should be given a fruit which was first eaten by a parrot. And I just asked him what was the remedy, I mean what was the medicine he gave. He said, although there are medicines, but the best medicine would be a fruit eaten by a parrot. And of course, they were living in a city like Bangalore. How is it possible to get any parrots there to come and bite your fruits? But I immediately could understand. So similarly, we may have so many problems in our life. So the solution is to eat the fruit eaten by some great devotees like Shukadeva Goswami. Here, Srimad Bhagavatam is a fruit personally relished by Shukadeva Goswami and so many other great sages also. So, day before, that is on Sunday, Shyamananda Prabhu was explaining how Vasudeva, he commenced with the sacrifice and he took that great effort to complete that sacrifice. And then also he suggested how these Vedic sacrifices are not meant for this age of Kali Yuga. Ultimately, the chanting of the holy names is the only way. And in today's verse, we are reading these great stalwart devotees like Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva, they are conversing. And it appears that they are conversing as if they are ordinary devotees. And what are they doing? They are discussing the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. And it is very interesting to know that they are the participants in the 10th canto. That means they are relishing the Vatsalya Rasa. That means they have been the fathers of Krishna. One is the real father, another one is foster father, isn't it? So both of them, they are such great souls. But what are they discussing? Here Vasudeva is telling Nanda Maharaj, as if he is tied by the knots of all of this illusory energy or anything like that. He is telling that this illusory energy is so great that it seems to me that even great heroes and mystics find it very difficult to free themselves from it. Although they are free from it, where is the question of binding them, the illusory energy? They are direct participants in the Leela of the Lord. So that goes to show that how an advanced soul never thinks himself to be free from illusory energy. So we have heard this story of Srila Prabhupada, how when he was visiting various temples and he used to stand in front of the deities and he used to pray intensely. Everywhere it happened. So once one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, what is it that you are praying to the lordships all the time? We see that you are very intensely praying. And of course Prabhupada said, I pray to their lordships that I should never come under the influence of illusory energy. And he said that, I pray that I should never fall down. This is what he said. And he used to visit different temples and pray like this continuously. And at one point of time, Prabhupada said in one of his lectures, Maya cannot touch me. Illusory energy cannot touch me. Then the devotee, he asked Prabhupada, you said that you are always praying to Krishna that you should never fall down and you should, nothing should happen, that sort of a thing to you. And here now you are saying that Maya can never touch me. Isn't it an apparent contradiction here, apparent contradiction? Prabhupada said, because I pray constantly that Maya is very powerful, my dear Lord, please save me from this. Therefore, I can say that Maya cannot touch me. That means, although here is Mahabhagavat, pure devotee of the Lord, and he has preached all over the world, where is the question of illusory energy attacking him? But for neophytes like us, Srila Prabhupada is demonstrating by his own personal example how one can never think, even at the age, at that advanced stage of devotional service, that one can be taking illusory energy for granted. So, of course, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, that is a famous verse, 7.14. Daivihesha gunamayi mama maya duratya mamevaya prapadyante maya metam tarantite. That how this divine energy of mine, Krishna says, very difficult to overcome, but anybody who surrenders unto Krishna, he is free from it. And once Shikshashtakampra was giving discourse on this particular verse, and he was telling that how we should be Krishna conscious all the time, that is all right, that's what we are supposed to do, but at the same time, we are also supposed to be very cautious of Maya. So in fact, Srila Prabhupada has given the name to our society as International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So, but time and again in his purports he has warned the sadhakas that how they should be very alert when they deal with the material energy like this. So that means, is it that we should be always fearful of Maya? So cautious of Maya means what? That we should have a healthy fear of illusory energy. Healthy fear is not necessarily that, how can I go out and preach because there is so much Maya outside there. No, we may have to do our necessary things, but at the same time we should know from the scriptures how to interact with this material world, which is known as the kingdom of Maya. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada used to tell his disciples that you Westerners, you are not very cautious of Maya. You are not very fearful of Maya. That he used to always caution his devotees. And we have heard from His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj many a times that he also says this. He said that we are living in here in Mumbai, which is almost like a Western world. And our speech, our accent and our lifestyle is as good as those Westerners or Western devotees. Then Maharaj cautioned us also that we may also come into this category of Western. Westerners does not mean that only those who have taken birth in the land of Western world, but also it applicable to us also, because we are also in the same category. So, of course, in Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, there is an episode of Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj, in the prime of his youth, on the order of his father, Rishabhadev, he ruled the entire planet Earth as a Rajarshi king, as an ideal king. He ruled the world for thousands and thousands of years. And then he performed so many Vedic sacrifices, very elaborately it is described in 5th canto. And then he divided his kingdom for 5 of his kings, sons. And then as a Rajarshi, he is supposed to set an example. So he walked out of his palace to go to the jungle. Especially he went to Gandaki river, which is in Nepal. And previously this entire earth planet was known as Ajanabha Varsha. But the rule of Bharat Maharaj was so wonderful that people calling then onwards this entire tract of land, earth planet, as Bharat Varsha. So there are 3 Bharatas. One is Lord Ramachandra's brother, who is Bharat Maharaj. Another one is Dushyanta, son of Dushyanta, is also Bharat. And here is Bharat Maharaj, who is son of Rishabhadeva. So our great land of Bharat Varsha is known because of his great wonderful rule when he ruled his kingdom so many thousands of years before. So he went to Kalagandaki river and then there he started meditating on Lord Vasudeva and worshipping him. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam that he left this kingdom, which was so vast in the sense entire earth planet, without any rivalry, such a wonderful kingdom, wonderful subjects, and his sons and his family members, and he left everything as if somebody leaves the stool after it is passed away. Who will look back what he has passed? Nobody will look, because it is abominable. Here is Bharat Maharaj, who has ruled the kingdom without any problem, no rivalry at all, and he walks away thinking like this is all useless. That means he wanted to set example. Also he was really renounced and he left for the wilderness to perform exclusive worship to Lord Krishna. And it is explained that he experienced, after he went there, he started performing severe austerities, and it is said that he experienced 8 transcendental transformations, Ashtasattvika Vikara. That means he was almost on the level of Prema, just before the Prema Bhava. He was on the level of Bhava and he was worshipping Lord Krishna. So a few more steps he would have attained his desired goal of Krishna Prema. But in the meantime, what happened, we all know. A deer came in and it took the charge of his entire life. And here is Bharatma rejecting everything and going to the jungle to meditate on Krishna. But he becomes attached to the deer. And that is the potency of illusory energy. That is how powerful it is. That here is somebody who is not practicing sadhana bhakti but bhava bhakti. Almost reaching prema bhakti. And he is experiencing this dilemma in his life. That means he was conscious of Krishna, no doubt. And that's what we all are supposed to do also, that we should be conscious of Krishna, but at the same time, cautious of Maya. Here we see in the life of Bharat Maharaj, though he is experiencing transcendental transformations, but he was not sufficiently cautious of Maya. And he became attached to the deer. Then what happened? It costed him two lives. One as Jadabharat, another one as, deer. Once he took birth as deer and secondly, Jadabharat. So much of time and energy wasted. So, there are such examples in the scriptures which tell us how we also have to be really cautious. If this can happen to a personality like Bharata Maharaj, who was living in the age of Satyuga, and was a perfect Rajarshi, and such a pure atmosphere, guided by great sages, performing Vedic sacrifices, and going back to his real duty of renouncing the world, and such a peaceful atmosphere like that of the banks of Kalagandaki River, and he is facing this problem of illusory energy. That means Maya is all pervading. It is all pervading. So, of course, we know, also Prabhupada points out in purport, that the one problem which he was facing, that lack of association of devotees. He didn't have any proper association. He was single-handedly trying to perform devotional service, isn't it? So of course, Srila Prabhupada has created this wonderful society of devotees, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. This year we are celebrating 50th year. It is such a wonderful event. So we don't have this problem of lack of association. So we have the association of devotees and we should take advantage of it. Therefore Prabhupada said, if one thinks that one can advance in spiritual life without the association of devotees, he is only simply in hallucination. It is not possible, simply impossible. And time and again, whenever devotees, they come here, they glorify our temple being a very wonderful community of devotees. In fact, our His Holiness Deyamrit Maharaj, many a times he said, here we have abundant, rich association of devotees. So, not only we know it, but everybody is also acknowledging it. Now it is our duty to take advantage of this wonderful association of devotees and perfect our lives. Therefore, it is said in Padyavali, of course, compiled by Srila Rupa Goswami, Kashayanna cha bhojanadi niyaman novavane vasato vyakhyana dhatava manivrute chittodbhava kshiyate kintu svita kalinda shailatanaya tiresha vikridato govindasya padaravinda bhajana arambhasya leshadapi. Very wonderful verse. He says that kashayanna cha bhojanadi niyaman. That means he gives five different steps practitioners they take up to renounce this world and try to overcome material energy. Kashayanna cha bhojanadi niyaman. It is said that not by wearing saffron cloths one can overcome material energy. bhojanadi niyaman, eating simple foods. No, here we have spicy and non-spicy. No, sometimes if spicy becomes too much, then we switch on to the non-spicy prasadam. Still there is no hope. Bhojanadi niyaman, nova vane vasato. We see in this city of Mumbai how difficult to move around and perform devotional service. So sometimes we may go to village side, we may go to Govardhanika village and just be there and peacefully chant Hare Krishna, because Mumbai is too much. Not possible, not even by that. Nova vanimasato vyakhyana tathava munirute. Okay, ours is a preaching moment, let's go out and preach. Yeah, we are supposed to do that. But not simply giving discourses, one can overcome the material energy. And after preaching so many times, so many people, we understand that they are hardly listening to what we are telling. So then munivrate, then just keep quiet. Then just observe silence. Not even death. We may adopt all these five items, still we cannot overcome the power of illusory energy. So therefore it is a very hopeless case. And then in the second half it is explained that kintu sphita kalinda shaila tanaya tiresha vikrividato. That means Lord Govinda, who is having his pastimes on the wide banks of river Yamuna, and when we start worshipping his lotus feet, just by beginning of the worship of the lotus feet, one can overcome the power of illusory energy. That means, taking up devotional service very seriously at the lotus feet of the Lord is the only and only way to say goodbye to Maya. Otherwise, it is impossible, because Krishna himself has said in Gita, Mama Maya Duratya. So then, what is the way out? That is to take up the devotional service very seriously. And in later on verses also it is said, Bhavad vidha klesha kashasha tahata paribhraman indriya kapasantare niyamya madhava manomai mayas tadangrishanko dhada bhakti bandhane. That means the mind of a conditioned soul is like a horse, which is untamed horse, that is very wild horse. Now, of course, nowadays horses are not visible in the city of Mumbai, but if you go to village side, I saw in Dombivli. Dombivli, they have, nowadays I don't know, some years before when I went there, people used to ride on horse carts. So these hearts have two covers here. So because the horse is very passionate animal, so it goes anywhere and everywhere. So therefore it should only look at the front, not other sides. Therefore the eyes are covered very nicely. So but here the mind is not a horse which has these covers. So it is uncovered, untamed horse. It is very difficult to control it. And it is running. Where it is running? Running on the highway, which is full of difficult, so many rocks and pebbles. Very difficult to ride on, to run on. And these are compared to the senses. These senses are very big and very treacherous, on which the horse is running. So it is a very deadly combination. So then what is the way out? It is suggested that tvadangrishanko drudha bhakti bandhane. That means that there is only one way. It has to be tied to the post. And what is that post? The lotus feet of the Lord. And what is that rope? Rope is devotional service. And we have to voluntarily take up this process of devotional service, and we have to fix ourselves at the lotus feet of the Lord. So in my hometown, in front of my home, there used to be a farmer who had his bulls, and he used to yoke his bulls early in the morning to go to the fields. And I remember observing those bulls would be sitting, and you know, he would give them their breakfast, and after their breakfast they were ready. And as soon as we'd enter the arena, those bulls would become, you know, aware, oh, my master is coming now. And they would look like this, huh? They were ready almost. And he would just come and touch them, just like this. And they would immediately get up. And they would, you know, shake their bodies very nicely. They are ready for the work now. And then he is trying to yoke them. He lifts that, entire cart. And he doesn't have to even tell them or indicate them. They are coming and standing in their positions, taking up their positions. And he doesn't have to tell anything or do anything. So they are so trained up. In the sense, they are voluntarily coming and accepting the burden of service. Although they are animals, but still they are so intelligent. They know that he is our master, he is feeding us, and we have to work for them, and they are ready for the service now. And he yokes them up and takes them to the land of tilling. So here also, as a conditioned soul, we have to voluntarily, it's not a burden, it's a burden of love. It's not a burden of beast. It's a burden of love. So we have to take the burden of service to the Lord, and then only we can, is there any hope in our lives? So some years before when Srila Prabhupada he was just having his pastimes right here in Mumbai. He was trying to build Radharas Bihari temple. The Juhu beach, he used to take morning walks. Once when he was taking morning walks, His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj and others, they were accompanying him. And Srila Prabhupada walking, chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, on his beats, along with his devotees, morning walk. And he happened to see a man, having his dog along with him for morning walk. And Prabhupada commented on it, just see the dog, how healthy the dog is and how fearless the dog is. Why? Because he has a master. He has a master, and he knows that my master is there, he will protect me, he will feed me. So therefore, he has no fear at all. Just walking. And then Prabhupada recited this verse. Bhavantameva nucharan nirantara prashanta nishesha manorathantara kadahamaikantika nitya kinkara praharshayishyami sanatha jivita. The verse composed by Yamanacharya in Stotra Ratna, which says that bhavantam evanu charan nirantaram. When a living entity takes up the devotional service unto the Lord Krishna, prashanta nishesha manorathantara, that means all his material desires are fulfilled. He doesn't have to worry about it. All the material desires, manoratha, that means all the material desires are immediately fulfilled. And then he is pouring out, he is expressing his desire. Kadaham aikantik nityakinkara. When will I get the intimate service to the lotus feet of the Lord? And then what will happen? Praharshishyami sanatha jivita. I will lead a wonderful life of having a perfect master. Sanatha jivita is a devotee who has a master like Lord Krishna. So there is anatha, one who has no parents, and then there is sanatha. So unless we identify who our parents are, real parents, we are anatha. We may have our parents, I have my father, mother and other relatives, but unless I understand that who is my real parents, I'm still anatha only. So we have to identify our parents and become subordinate to them. Then our life becomes auspicious. So here in this case, the dog has no fear and perfectly all right, because he knows that I have a master. Without a master, we see the street dogs, how pitiful their life is. Anybody can come and pick them. I mean, all these BNC people can come and pick them up anytime. And they will be ridiculed because they will be, you know, barking all around. Many a times it happens. And if a dog goes to another, some other arena, the other dogs will chase him. He cannot enter into their arena because he is like a street dog who has no master. But whereas a dog who has a master, he will not face this problem at all. So therefore, our Bhaktivinoda Thakur also has said that Tumito Thakura Tomara Kukkara, like that. That means you are my master and I am your servant as a dog. Although dog is a sinful animal, but still we can learn so many things from the dog. Dog has one great quality of faithfulness to the master, chastity to the master. So devotee is like a dog because he doesn't go here and there finding his master, because he has already selected a master. So there is no question of going to other masters. So of course we have heard the story of His Holiness Suchinandan Maharaj. We'll try to recite it again. That before coming to Krishna consciousness, he was like a newspaper vendor. He used to distribute newspapers, and as usual he went to different places, different homes in the morning, and of course one dog chased him away. I mean, it was barking like hell, as if it was going to pounce on him and rip him apart. And he was really very fearful, and he thought, this is my last day, because that dog was really, really wild. And he didn't know what to do. He was really in a panicking situation. By God's grace, that master of the dog came immediately, and he shouted at the dog, and dog immediately calmed down and started licking again His Holiness with his tongue. So that means, I mean, Maharaj gives the purport that material energy is like that of dog, which is harassing the living entities all the time. Unless the master comes and tells, my dear Tommy, just keep quiet, leave him alone. So unless he tells those words, we have no hope. So therefore, it is our number one duty to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord and understand the intricacies of living in this world and pursue our devotional service. And in one of the purports of fifth canto, where the residents of Jambudvipa are offering prayers, so Vadanti Vishwam, in that purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that theoretical knowledge acquired by studying the Vedic scriptures is not sufficient to protect one from the clutches of Maya. That means we may study, which we are supposed to do anyway. Prabhupada has given us these so many volumes of literature, and he also told us to read them, not only distribute them. We have to read, and we are reading, and but here Prabhupada says simply gathering theoretical knowledge is not sufficient. to protect oneself from the clutches of Maya. But he gives the solution also. One must strictly adhere to the principles of devotional service. Only then it is possible. So therefore, nowadays, of course, we have so many literatures given by Srila Prabhupada and his disciples also writing. And all those books are available. Previously, there used to be some folio. Only when you open your laptop and see, then okay, I have got all the books right in my laptop. And then came some different devices, iPad. Now, right in our mobile phone, we have got access to all the Vedic literatures. Not only Srila Prabhupada books, but even other great acharyas. Everything is available. So, anyway, that doesn't mean that because we have all these gadgets and books around us, that we are immune to Maya. So, unless we dive deep and understand what is written there and try to practice it, so there is no hope. So therefore, His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu often tells in his Gita classes, information, information and information, but no transformation. No transformation. Because there is knowledge is available. Of course, some people that knowledge is also not there. How unfortunate are they? Very unfortunate. But thanks to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, who has given us this vast Vedic literatures, and at least we are surrounded by these books and devotees who are always reminding us then how it is important for us to read them and understand them. So, but that is not sufficient. Here, Prabhupada is cautioning us that we should not only read them but also try to practice them. So therefore, Krishna consciousness is like an open book test. It is said, Rajavidya Rajaguhyam. If this is Rajavidya, if it is the king of all the knowledge, then it is also Rajaguhyam. It is very difficult to penetrate. Why it is Guhyam? We are distributing books openly. And nowadays, you know, devotees, they distribute even online. Or Prabhuji has taken up this service, Shadbhuj Prabhu, distributing even online. But then, although there is so much of knowledge is being distributed, then why it remains still rahasya? Why it is like that? Because the reason is the same, that although it is open book test, our Vidyapeeth devotees can appreciate this example, that many a time they are given exams and then another exam which is known as open book test. Although book is there in front of you, you can open it and read it and write exam. Is it possible? You can't even touch that book because the questions themselves are so, deep. Unless whether your book is open or closed, that doesn't matter. We have to know what is there in that book. Only then we can write. Otherwise, even the book is given to us, but still we can't write. Similarly, we may have the theoretical knowledge of all of this, but unless we put into practice, there is no hope. So therefore, time and again Srila Prabhupada has cautioned us that how we have this opportunity to perfect our life right in this lifetime and go back to the spiritual world and continuously be there to serve the Lord. So therefore, it is our great responsibility to take up this process very seriously and perfect our lives. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki Grantha Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki. So I would like to say this much, that although whatever I may have spoken, it is not necessary that I have overcome the illusory energy. It is not possible. I am also a practitioner, so please bear with me if I have transgressed the etiquette. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grantra Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana Ki Jai. Jai Gaur Prema Anande.